This is Nachyomi, Sefer Shofetim, chapter 4. After the death of Ehud ben Gera, the Jewish people return to their idolatrous ways and begin assimilating again. As a result, they find themselves subservient to and persecuted by a new king, this time Yavin, king of Hatzor, who is served by his general Sisera. Sisera will play a very decisive and significant role in the story to come. The oppression suffered by the Jews at the hands of Yavin is particularly intense and drawn out for 20 years. We learn a few more details about the nature of this persecution in Shirat Devorah in chapter 5. Realizing that Yavin's power is supported by a very, very substantial and well-equipped military force, and that this regime is not going to be overthrown by any human means, the Jewish people finally cry out to Hashem after 2 decades, and they are sent another distinguished shofet, this time Devorah, to guide them. We see a spiritual reawakening as everybody streams to Devorah for judgment, for advice, for knowledge of Torah. There is a renewal of connection to Hashem and connection and observance of mitzvot. Then Hashem commands Devorah, once the Jews have again regained, become worthy of divine providence because of their return to Torah, which is one of the key steps in the cycle of Shofetim. So then Hashem commands Devorah to assign Barak the task, Barak ben Avinoam, the general of the Jews, the task of overthrowing Yavin, mobilizing the Jewish military and engaging in battle. He's nervous about doing this. We have to keep in mind, as mentioned before, Yavin had a very, very imposing army. And the Jewish people at this stage of their persecution were very weak from a military standpoint and very unprepared. So Barak says he only wants to go out to war if Devorah is willing to accompany him. She warns him that this might not be the best idea since he would not be achieving much glory in this battle. The victory will be credited to a woman. Yet she agrees to join the military campaign, to accompany him, to escort him along, as a sort of representative of the divine presence being there with the Jewish people as they go out to war. Now, remarkably, miraculously, the forces of Yavin are overpowered by the Jewish onslaught. Somehow the soldiers of Israel, with the help of God, are able to defeat them. They flee, or they're killed. And Sisera, the general, runs, he abandons his chariot and he runs on foot. He comes to the home of Chever HaKeni. Chever HaKeni was an ally of Yavin, the king of Hatzor. Although he was related, he was among the descendants of the father-in-law of Moshe. So he was one of the, in a way, he's family with the Jewish people. He's a descendant of the father-in-law of Moshe Rabbeinu. And yet he had an alliance with Yavin, the king of Hatzor. This would be a test of that alliance, as we're about to see. Yael, the wife of Chever HaKeni, welcomes Sisera, who has come to her for some kind of an asylum, some kind of a refuge, and he asks for water. She gives him milk. He asks for a place to rest. She gives him a blanket to keep him warm, and he asks her to please tell anybody who comes by that he's not there. In other words, he asks her to keep his visit a secret and to protect him, and she agrees to do so. However, as soon as he dozes off, as soon as he falls asleep, she takes a tent spike and drives it through his skull, killing him. In other words, this alliance between Chever HaKeni and the king of Hatzor, Yavin, was apparently only for pragmatic reasons. It wasn't a genuine alliance. And when they saw that the tides had turned against Yavin, the king of Hatzor, and it was no longer necessary for them to feign allegiance to him, they were willing to turn on him, to kill his general, and to show their true colors as allies of the Jewish people. Meanwhile, Barak arrives in pursuit of Sisera and is told by Yael that he's already been taken care of. This is the turning point in the struggle that eventuates in the Jewish people regaining their autonomy in the land of Israel. Now, this narrative has a lot of detail and a lot of drama, and we could speak about many different aspects of it, but for the purposes of this brief summary, we're just going to highlight a couple of items. First of all, it's remarkable that at this stage in history, the undisputed leader of the Jewish people is a woman, Devorah. And another woman, Yael, plays a critical role in resolving the conflict. In fact, when Devorah says to Barak that a woman is going to defeat Sisera, Sisera is going to fall into the hands of a woman, she wasn't talking about herself, as it might have seemed, but she was actually talking about Yael. On the other hand, the male characters in this story are particularly weak. Barak is unwilling to go out to battle without Devorah, who's a kind of mother figure. She even calls herself a Chakamti Embi Israel. In next week's, in tomorrow's chapter, rather, Devorah refers to herself as a mother in Israel. She's a maternal figure. Without his mother there, he doesn't want to go out to battle. Similarly, when Sisera comes, he is mothered in many ways by Yael. She gives him a blanket, she gives him milk. All of these actions display a kind of nurturing role. So both Yael and Devorah are motherly figures, and both of the male characters are weak, very dependent mama's boy figures in the story, if you will. Second, another interesting thing is that we see that the roles of political and religious leader are separated here. Devorah is the prophetess, she's the teacher, she's the judge, she's the one that people come to for insight and perspective. Barak, though, although he's a righteous person, is not the spiritual leader. He is the military and political leader. So we see that these roles are separated. Unlike in the times of Moshe Rabbeinu, Otniel ben Kenaz, Yehoshua, Ehud ben Gera, they were both spiritual and political leaders. They integrated the religious and the secular. At this time, the spiritual and political life has disintegrated to a point where we can no longer find one person who embodies excellence in both politics and communal life and military leadership, as well as spiritual and Torah leadership. So we have to divide them in half, giving one of those roles to Barak and another one to Devorah. And this loss of sort of the unification, of the integration, the holistic perspective of having politics and Torah, having the mundane and the holy united, this loss is indicative of further disconnect between the Jewish people and their Torah. And it's really a sign of even more decline that is to come and will be described to us in the upcoming chapters of the book of Shofetim. So it's very noteworthy here again that these roles are being split, that the role of political and religious leader ideally should be concentrated in one person who's able to integrate the two. The fact that they are split is a sign that things are beginning to decline even further than they had before.